DW.
It's a tranquil afternoon on the Whitsunday Islands at the southern end of Australia's Great Barrier Reef. A tour boat sits moored on a thin slice of white sand as snorkelers marvel at the coral beneath the clear waters. It's a relaxing scene, but our boat's captain, Mike, says some visitors have worries on their minds.
I've actually had a few people tell me that they've come to see the reef specifically before it's too late. I've never heard so much about the reef being in trouble from people on board the boat. People are asking questions about the reef all the time.
The trouble he's referring to is coral bleaching. That occurs when the water in the reef becomes too warm, causing coral to expel the algae that gives it its vibrant color. The result isn't just a white tint that disappoints divers. The coral is also left vulnerable to starvation and disease. Reefs can recover and take in new algae, but this takes at least 5 years. They could also die permanently after a bleaching event. Tour operators in the coastal town of Airlie Beach, a jump-off point for exploring the islands, say more and more people are coming to see the reef before it disappears, like Sergi Altadil from Barcelona.
I hear that because of the global warming, there was degradation of the Great Coral Reef. So I was thinking this is the moment, because maybe in a few years there is no coral reef in this area.
In 2016, there were reports of the largest coral die-off ever recorded at the Great Barrier Reef. The reef's northern region lost 67% of its shallow water corals, prompting some media to claim the reef was, quote, already dead. The damage didn't extend as far south as the Whitsunday Islands, but that hasn't stopped the floods of tourists from coming. It's not just Australian reefs that are under threat. A 2016 report from the UN found that if current trends persist, by the end of this century, 99% of the world's reef will suffer severe bleaching every year. But despite the grim outlook, conservationists are hoping they can save the Great Barrier Reef by partnering with the tourism industry. These tourists are getting ready to board their boat for their snorkeling adventure out on the corals. Some are nervous, and some are beyond excited to see the colorful coral and fish. But even while they're out on the reef snorkeling, their boat may be collecting some valuable data in order to save the reef. Cruise with Sundays, the largest tour operator here, is part of a monitoring program called Eye on the Reef. Their tour boats survey the sites they visit and provide data to help manage any impacts they find, including bleaching. The tours also educate visitors about the dangers the reef faces and dispel exaggerated claims of the reef's death.
So the reef's got more variety to it. The coral's in better condition. You will get some fish here.
Tour boats themselves can pose a threat to the reef, both through engine pollution and by scraping the coral surface. But operators like Cruise with Sundays are part of an eco-certification scheme. And the government also restricts the boat's movements with permits and zoning, and uses the data the boats gather to protect vulnerable areas of the reef. At the Townsville headquarters of the Australian government's Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority, Director of Tourism and Stewardship Roger Beeden explains how the industry can help.
It's a very complex, dynamic system, and as soon as you sort of move beyond that, look, it's bright and colourful and there's lots of fish, you start to see the sort of complexity that's there. And a lot of the time, most people that visit the reef, the way they understand it is because of what the tourism industry described to them when they're out on their vessels. So we work very closely with the tourism industry to help them to provide that interpretation for people.
But local environmentalists at Airlie Beach say the tourism industry's efforts are hit and miss. While some operators do a good job with helping to monitor the reef and educate visitors about the dangers it faces, some don't help at all and pretend that everything is fine. Back at the white sandy shores of Airlie Beach, Sandra Williams, environmental campaigner with the Australian Marine Conservation Society, takes me for a stroll along the harbour.
I know I'm fortunate enough to have seen the Great Barrier Reef at its most magnificent best, and I also know that people alive now and those coming in the future will never have the opportunity to see what I've seen on the reef, because it is a very different place even now.
She says it's good that tour operators on the Whitsundays have upped their reef monitoring activity and are educating visitors about environmental threats. But that isn't necessarily true in all parts of the reef.
You know, many of them are long-term operators, and it's more than just their livelihood. You know, they've brought their families up on the reef the same as I have, and it's home. And they want to take care of it. So their staff, for many of the boats that go out daily, are actively engaged in reporting changes they see to scientists and government bodies to build up that picture of what is happening locally in the marine environment. I think there's more that they could all do. There are many, and not particularly in the Whitsundays, but further to the north in the Cairns region, who pretend they're in complete denial of the problem, and they're looking at short-term gain for long-term pain, and they don't want it publicised that the reef is under threat, or that there's been coral bleaching, or that the reef is unhealthy, because they see an immediate negative impact on their business.
Climate change poses the biggest threat in the long term, but the damage that climate change has already caused means there's a more immediate threat on the horizon. The priority right now is ensuring the reefs are in the best possible health for if and when a cyclone hits.
We're now in the middle of our summer period. This is traditionally our wet season and our cyclone season. And for the first time in 3 years, we're actually having a wet season. So I expect somewhere, at least once on the Great Barrier Reef coastline this year, in the next coming months, there will be a massive cyclone. Now, if we were unfortunate enough for that event to happen in that degraded area north of Port Douglas, where 67% of the coral has died, if there was a big cyclone there, that's the coral that's left is so underprepared to deal with another major catastrophe, it just doesn't have the resilience to fight back from that.
Dave Keating, DW, Airlie Beach, Australia.
DW,